G'day, mate. You're listening to the Fully Cultured Podcast. I'm your host, A-Sun, and you're here with my co-host, Bass.
Yo, it's Bass. What's up? Welcome back to the Fully Cultured Podcast. We're back here with another episode for you guys.
Okay. We're starting off with, why did we start off this podcast? Bass, you want to start this?
All right. Now, my answer to why we started this podcast is mostly because your host, A-Sun, he's the one that kind of brought the idea to me and was like, hey, why don't we, you know, do a podcast and it'll be fun, this, that, and the other. And I was like, yeah, sure, man, why not? You know, it'll be fine, you know, we can engage with people, talk about, you know, some of the things that we love and that have taken, you know, some things that we hold close to our hearts and, like, some things that have taught us things about life that we probably would have never gotten anywhere. And, you know, just be a good experience to, like, share my perspective on anime and all this juicy culture that we all love to this day, you know? And, yeah, I don't know, I just thought it would be something fun to do. And it would just express my creativity in a different way that I didn't think I would. And, yeah, I just thought it would be fun. And yourself, Mr. A-Sun?
For me, I would like to spread awareness of our anime culture in a nutshell. Basically talking about all our favorite animes. I just like want to talk about all that, you know, tell what I think is the best anime. What's our favorite waifu? Who is the best waifu in the nutshell? And yeah, what deserves a second season? And yeah, what really deserves another season? And what doesn't? And what animes are popping and all that.
Answering some of your most wanted questions.
Yeah, basically. Okay, we'll go to the next one. The top harem you've watched.
Oh, for me, that would be The World God Only Knows. It's an anime about where this kind of like evil or demons or whatnot come into our world and they kind of invade people's hearts, mostly girls' hearts, because they're more susceptible or emotional or something along those lines. And so then there's this angel that kind of needs to go and free those hearts from, you know, the demons that invade into it, and she recruits this guy to make chicks fall in love with him, and because that is like one of the emotional triggers to open up a heart, which is love. So to open up a heart, you need love. And so what this guy has to do is make all the chicks that have a demon inside of them open up their hearts with love. So he has to make them fall in love with him. So I don't know, that was a really interesting anime. It was pretty cool, like so many different like chicks and like different like stereotypes and all of that, and it was just interesting to see. And it's, you know, an interesting situation to be in, you know, kind of having to make chicks fall in love with you. It kind of goes to show that maybe we're not all destined to be with just one person. Maybe there's like multiple people that we can try to be with at the same time. It kind of opens up that sort of like realm of possibility, like to, you know, think about maybe not, we're not all destined for one person. Maybe if we love each other enough, if we, you know, if couples love each other enough and are willing to make things work, then they can make it work. It's not all about like soulmates and all that sort of stuff. So that was an interesting harem anime that I really liked. What about you, A-Sun? What's the top harem anime you've watched?
Well, this one is World Break Aria of a Curse for a Holy Swordman. Well, this anime is pretty cool because this guy who gets isekai'd, he wakes up and then he realizes he had two past lives. He realizes one where he's with, well, it's hard to explain. Well, so he had two past lives, and then he slowly remembers all the past lives, and then those past lives where he had his experiences, and then he gets to use those experiences to use his new powers, which he uses magic and all that kind of stuff, and then he becomes a real good swordsman and all that stuff, and then he gets to the rank S and all that stuff.
Pretty interesting.
Well, Bass, if you give me a little help with this one.
So, with that one, pretty much this guy, it's kind of like toggles on the belief of reincarnation. So, this guy has had two past lives, one in which he was a magician, another in which he was a swordsman. And in both of those, he's had a wife, two different wives. And so, in his life at the moment, he meets them both. And as he's discovering his powers, he, like, you know, what he can truly, what he's truly capable of. He kind of also remembers bits and pieces from his past life and kind of like puts those together. Whereas the other two, his two wives or girlfriends or whatever they were from their part, from his past life, they kind of like already know that he's, you know, the boyfriend or the husband or whatever, but they don't tell him yet. So they've kind of already like fallen in love with him. So, and he's still in the process of figuring out like his powers and his reincarnation and all that sort of stuff. So it's super interesting, all while trying to like save the world and rank up from like this ranking, magical ranking system where like, you know, your typical like from like Naruto, you'd get from like Genin to like Hokage or Jonin. For this one, it's kind of like from what, E rank all the way to A and S rank. So yeah, kind of make his way up on the ladder.
Okay, that was a good explanation of my anime, even though I couldn't explain it better. But yeah, that's a good harem anime if you want to give it a go. Who is your favorite anime character base?
Oh, there's so many to choose from, but recently, I've kind of like jotted it down to two people, but I think I'll just stick with Itachi Uchiha for the most part in this discussion. And what I really like about Itachi is that at the beginning, no one really knew much about him except that he, you know, killed his entire clan. And spoiler warning also, if you haven't seen the rest of Naruto Shippuden towards, you know, Naruto Shippuden onwards to the end, that Itachi actually, there was a reason for why he killed his clan. And it was because his clan was kind of like revolting against or trying to make a coup up debt to the Leaf Village. So he was kind of tasked with, do I either kill my family or do I join them in starting a war in the village? And what kind of like intrigued me about him is that he kind of had to put his morals and everything on the line. He kind of had to choose what kind of man he wanted to be. Would he be a man that served his village or a man that served his family? And what is the right thing to do and what isn't the right thing to do in that situation? Like, does he kill his entire family to stop a war, so to stop millions of people dying? Or does he kill the hundreds in his family to prevent, you know, millions and billions of deaths, you know? So it was kind of an interesting thing there. And also just to see that he was, at the beginning of his life, he was exposed to war. So it was really interesting to see that, because I've read the Itachi light novels, Midnight and Daylight. So they provide like very in-depth, like, thought processes of Itachi Uchiha. So it's really interesting to see his perspective since he was a kid being exposed to like war since the age of like 4 or 5 and all that, and what he kind of interpreted war to be and like how that kind of influenced his pacifism into like his adulthood, how he didn't like fighting and only fought when necessary, and how he climbed the ranks of the, you know, the shinobi system, and he got like to like Jonin at the age of like 13 or 14. It was pretty crazy. And but yeah, but the first thing that really kind of like got me about him when I found out was how he found the strength to actually kill off his family. What he did first is he actually went to the one person that he thought would be the hardest to kill, and he said to himself, if I can't kill this person, I won't be able to kill the rest of them. And that one person was his girlfriend, Izumi Uchiha. And oh my god, when I read that part, that was like, oh, really pulled on the heartstrings. Because like, what he did just before he killed her, he put her in a genjutsu where he kind of made her experience like 80 plus years of their lives together. What would have happened if everything was peaceful in both their lives without war or without anything? So that was really like heartfelt and wholesome to me. Like, he kind of like gave her the life she always wanted and then killed her right after, even though like just before he killed her, like she thanked him for showing him a life where them two could be together. And that was really amazing to me. And yeah, just his characters in general after that, where he kind of made himself the villain in the eyes of like the whole entire world. How they all saw him as like this really, really bad guy who killed his family, who kind of went crazy for power to kind of get to, you know, want to test his power and get stronger. And that's why he killed his entire clan to do so. but in reality, he killed them, you know, to save millions of lives and all of that. And especially to, he had to also be a villain to the one person that he loved more than anything, which was his brother. He made a deal to spare his brother's life while, you know, doing the things that he did. So that was really kind of like amazing to me. He like put the love of his brother in front of the love of anyone else in the village. And like he said, I'll do it if you spare my brother. And that was pretty amazing because his brother had nothing to do with like the co-op debt and all that stuff. So that kind of was like he played the villain. So later in life, when his brother got strong enough, he could come and kill him and kind of like redeem the family name and be like, oh yeah, his brother went crazy, but like Sasuke, his younger brother, he was good. He did this, that, and the other. And in the end of the day, he kind of got revenge and brought their kind of family name to light. And that amount of sacrifice, like spending, who knows, like 10 plus years of his life being scrutinized for the things that he did, but like in reality he did them to be for like a lesser evil. And that's what I really like about Itachi Uchiha. I know it went on a bit, but who's your favorite anime character, A-san?
It's got to be Archer from the Fate series. Basically, what I liked about Archer was that meme where Archer is smiling and it says, "Bone of my sword." That was pretty funny. His ability to create a reality marble, a world where he can access countless number of famous blades. Yeah, basically, I like Archer's character because he's such an overpowered character. Archer's abilities are no laughing matter. They are all useful to a degree for battle. Projection magic and his ability to replicate, where he can replicate most weapons. Hawkeye, where he can hit a moving target even if they're moving at high speed. Archer's preferred weapons is his twin blades, Kachu and Bakuyo, which has a real nice look. Archer is a counter guardian, so he's different from the other heroes, who are heroic spirits. Archer then agrees a contract with the world to become a counter guardian to prevent a disaster from wiping out hundreds of lives from the world. Archer had to live the rest of his life sorting out mankind's poor decisions. I really enjoyed watching the episode of Fate Unlimited Blade Works where Archer battles Shira Emiya. In this battle, you can get to understand Archer's painful past. Archer did not live a wise life because he tried living a life where he did not lose anything. At this point, Archer saw hell. You may ask why Archer hates Shira Emiya. Well, Archer is Shira Emiya from an alternative timeline. During Archer's time as a counter guardian, he slowly begins to understand that he would have to take too many lives to save mankind. At this point of his life, he started to hate his existence. Eventually, Archer comes up with a plan to undo his contract with the world as a counter guardian. So Archer travels to a timeline where Shira Emiya existed before the contract was agreed with the world. So this means that Archer would have to kill Shiro to prevent the contract with the world being created. This means many of the world-changing events involving Archer would not happen, leading to a time paradox that could possibly wipe Archer's entire existence. Okay, back to the Archer battling Shira Emiya. They are both putting in some good hits with their swords. Later in the battle, Archer decides to use his special ability. These are the words Archer speaks. "I am the bone of my sword, unknown to death nor known to life. Unlimited blade works." I thought that part was epic. Those magic words just sounded so cool coming from that voice actor. Then Archer's reality marble activates. This is his special ability. We're taken into a wasteland where there are countless numbers of famous swords. That scene was so nice. It was epic seeing all the cool different famous swords. And yeah, that is basically everything about Archer and what I liked about him. Okay, next topic is, who is your favorite villain base?
For my favorite villain, we're going to go back into Naruto and say Nagato Uzumaki or Pain. And I chose Pain because he's kind of like a bittersweet sort of villain where things were pulled behind his back, strings were pulled behind his back, things and situation were presented in front of him where he wasn't aware of but was forced to deal with. And because of those people behind his back pulling these strings and putting him in those situations and forcing him to turn into the villain that he ended up turning into in the series is kind of what struck me the most about him, what I liked about him. Because at the beginning, spoiler warning again, if no one has seen Naruto Shippuden, Nagato was never really a bad person. He was just grew up in a shitty place and had a shitty life, but he had two other best friends with him that he could go through and rely on and count on no matter what. And so the things that he went through in his life, like, you know, regarding poverty and like dictatorships and like war, like he was kind of like an orphan child going through all of that with two other best of friends, and those best of friends kind of formed this group to try and like help the people in need in terms of, you know, during war times and all that. And kind of like, it was so interesting to see that at the beginning you see him as like this super bad guy that will do anything to, like, his whole philosophy was like the ends will always justify the means and fear will always prevail at the end, because if people fear you, they won't touch you. And if you show them power, an absolute power above them, like if you show them like a power that they cannot rival and they cannot touch you, then they will be obedient and they will have to and be forced to listen to you, even though it's through fear. At least you'll achieve peace through fear. And like, no matter, like, and to achieve that peace, the means will justify the end. So no matter what happens, like what kind of like what lives he has to take and what situations and what things he has to put other people through, to him, he always believed that none of that mattered as long as he achieved peace at the end. And yeah, in a way, like, I don't believe in that, but at the same time, seeing his perspective after you learn of what he went through as a child, you kind of understand that, like, you know, war and all that, like, it's never really good. And to, you know, to be put in those situations where he has to make these tough decisions and all that sort of stuff, even though, like, at the beginning it wasn't really him who wanted to be in those positions, he was kind of forced to change to be someone that he never wanted to be because of like the corrupt people that were trying to like force him and like trying to use his power to for their own means and all that. So it was interesting to see that, and kind of like the duality of kind of like seeing yourself, you're like a hero until you see yourself become the villain, sort of thing, you know, that motto that been thrown around here and there. But yeah, and it was kind of interesting to see that. And then just his whole redemption arc when he talks to Naruto just before he sacrifices his life to resurrect everyone that he killed during his fight with Naruto, that was really wholesome to me and kind of really did his character justice. And like, the core of his being and the core of his character was that he was always good and he always wanted to help people and achieve peace, and he never wanted violence, but he had to like take part in violence to stop violence. So it was interesting to see that, and his belief in Naruto in the end to pass on kind of like the role of becoming a savior, or, you know, bringing peace to the world. He was like, I couldn't do it, maybe you can do it. So here, I'm resurrecting all these people that I killed during our fight, and hopefully you can bring about the peace that our sensei, that Jiraiya, that he always envisioned. So he was kind of like passing on the torch to Naruto, like, I couldn't bring peace through my means, maybe however you see about bringing peace would be the right way to bring about peace. And I just really like that about him and his character. What about you, A-san? Who is your favorite villain in anime?
I'm going to choose Stain from My Hero Academia. So Stain, he's a different kind of villain. He strives, or his what he's aiming for is to look for heroes and eliminate the heroes that don't deserve to be heroes, because there are heroes that are out there that are only out there for the money. And what he's doing is just, yeah, basically eliminating them. And he's striving for like heroes that are worthy to be heroes, not the ones that are after the money and like after the the fame and all that stuff.
Yeah, selfish desires and selfish reasons.
Yeah, so he has like a main goal of what the world should be and all that stuff. And yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, Stain's quite the villain, and he's evil, but he's got a good point of what villains, or not villains, but what a villain should do is eliminate the heroes, apparently, that don't deserve it. And what character do you really hate, but you also like, Base?
For me, it'd have to be Ezder from Akame ga Kill. Ezder from Akame ga Kill, I don't know, it's kind of like a selfish thing for me, where she's just really, you know, really hot, and I really like, kind of like her caring nature when she finally gets the main character, like when they actually start spending time together, you kind of see like the softer side of her, like her more womanly, caring, nurturing sort of side. You know, it's kind of like in a bit of an obsessive and possessive way, but I don't know, kind of like having like a strong, I don't know, just kind of like plays on your fancies, you know, and your like desires, like, oh, having like this super strong woman, like be like, oi, you know, like you're my possession, like I'm gonna keep you safe from this world, and you know, don't worry about anything because I'll protect you, that sort of thing. Is kind of like it's a bit of a turn on, so but it's pretty good. Like, it's kind of like one of the main reasons I like her, but like at the same time, you really really do not like her because of her actions before that. Like, she killed, spoiler warning, but she killed the main character's like role model, like his older brother figure, and before his older brother figure passed on the mantle to him, you kind of like see all the bad shit she's been doing and just all the like things that she does against the main character's crew and everything, and all the deaths that she ensures, and like sending out like her people and her soldiers to like kill all the main characters, like friends and family, like not friends and family, but like friends and like their whole group that are trying to go up against her. So I really didn't like her for the like the villain she was, but at the same time I really liked her for like just the woman she was. So that's the character that I really hate but also like. What about you, A-san? What character do you really hate but you also like?
It's gotta be Kurumi from Dead Alive in the, yeah, freaking Kurumi in this anime. She's like a bit of an annoying little girl, but you understand why she's a bit annoying and evil at times, because she is suffering. She's like a time-traveling girl, and she has these clones, and what she has to do to them, every time she wants to have more time in this world, she has to shoot them, and which is basically pain and all that stuff. But in the anime, you see, like, there is, like, a side of her where she is waifu material right there, and you're like, oh my goodness, I love this girl, but, you know, she is suffering, and the MC, what's it called, is trying to save her, and all that stuff. Yeah.
To add to that, Kurumi, she's, when she shoots herself, it's kind of like these copies of her that were, like, spread out, like, she's got, like, clones of her running around, and every time she wants to, like, extend, like, her life, or the duration that she's in the main character, like, the world, she has to, like, kill them. But the thing is, that A-san is trying to say is that, one of the clones that, the main character kind of, like, interacts with, and, like, you kind of see the softer side, because it's, like, another version, they're all clones, but they kind of all go through, like, different experiences in life, and this one that A-san really likes is, like, just, I don't know, a girl of his fancy.
She's, like, a cute, like, wifeable girl.
Yeah.
She has the traits of, like, a waifu kind of thing. You're like, oh, my goodness, she wants to go on a date, oh, my goodness, she wants to get married, and, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, even though, like, they're all clones, they have different personalities, and the main dominant personality is like the villain, whereas there's also like the cutesy, the, you know, the wifeable waifu, you know, clone of her.
Okay, let's go to an anime you didn't expect to like, base.
For me, a bit controversial, my one, but One Punch Man, for me, because it was a bit overhyped for me. Like, too many people were hyping it up, too many people were saying that, oh, it was such an amazing anime, this, that, and the other. Like, the hype around it was pretty crazy when I first heard about it, and when it was just, like, everywhere. And everyone was watching it, everyone was talking about it, and it was just everywhere. And I was like, oh my god, what's so good about it? It's just a bold guy that can, like, beat anyone with one punch. Like, where's the fun in that? Like, where's the struggle? Where's, you know, where's any of the character development, character building in that? But then, I don't know, after a while, I can't remember how long it took me to actually sit down and watch it. When the hype finally died down, I was like, alright, now that no one's talking about it, I'll sit down and I'll watch it and see if it's actually any good. Sat down, and in like a day or two, I smashed it out and it was amazing. I really liked it. Can't wait for more. What about you, A-san? An anime you didn't expect to like?
It's gotta be Food Wars. Well, the first episodes, I was like, thinking, how could you make food any good in an anime? This is not possible. I watched the first episode, I was like so surprised. I was like, whoa, this food looks actually good, and how they like make this anime look good, because it's about food, and it's all MasterChef kind of stuff. They really emphasize how to cook and the detail and like what it takes to make your food look good and taste good and all that stuff. And of course the fan service, when you see like the people eat, or the anime people eat the food, and like they over exaggerate the eating the food, and they just like go off their chops and all that stuff, and you're like, why are they orgasming? But you know, the food must be really good and stuff.
I wish food would make me orgasm.
Yeah, the food orgasm and all that stuff, so good. And there's another it's up to season 5 or 4, and it's a bit disappointing that it's been delayed because of the damn coronavirus.
Hopefully everyone's staying safe. Make sure to stay safe, stay cultured while you're staying safe, while this whole pandemic is going on.
Yeah, stay safe, don't get coronavirus. Okay, what was the anime that you you already said that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. If you were to get isekai'd, which anime would you choose?
Well, for me, for like an actual serious answer, I'd pick Naruto, because I don't know, I've kind of always fantasized. I've read a lot of like Naruto fanfics, and I was always like, oh, it'd be so cool if like I got teleported there and like isekai'd there, and like I could like do all these jutsus and like kind of...
I want to be the next Hokage.
Be the next Hokage, yeah. But like, I don't know, like being isekai'd into the world while knowing like everything that's gonna happen, like I'll try and prevent as many deaths as I could while also trying to be one of the strongest people in the show, so like I could have the power to back up my claims. And I don't know, just like the experimentation and like the amount of I just really like the power system in and the world building in Naruto, like the whole chakra system and how like you can pretty much make anything a reality as long as like your imagination kind of like your imagination is pretty much like your only restriction. Like if you can think about it, then in Naruto, like if you can think about it and like you've, you know, put your mind to it, you can make a jutsu for just about anything and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like kind of mix like Naruto's system with like maybe Dragon Ball Z, like try and come up with like a Kamehameha wave and like in that universe or whatnot, or like, you know, maybe have like Todoroki's like fire and ice thing, but like in Naruto or something along those lines, you know,
or sexy jutsu and fuck yourself.
Yeah, call myself sexy jutsu and, you know, have my way with myself. That'd be good.
No,
all right.
No, you need a waifu jutsu. There must be one like that.
A waifu jutsu, yeah, it'd be amazing to come up with that. It'd be good if we had that in real life. Like, just waifu jutsu, psh, right there in front of us. Come here, baby.
Wax on, whack off.
But yeah, that's just what I really liked about Naruto. Like, just the world and the kind of energy system that they have in it. I always saw it as, like, very vast and, like, just so much you could do with it, because you know, a lot of the characters have their own sort of like thing about them, and I'm just there. I'd like to, like, you know, kind of implement some of the ideas that I've always had into that world and see if it works or not. And also, you know, some of the waifus in Naruto are actually really good, so why not grab myself one of those while I'm there? But as for, like, a selfish one, it'd be in another world with my smartphone. And with that one, I don't know, just the main character gets, you know, talks to a lot of chicks in that one and waifus, so it'd be, you know, a bit of a selfish thing. But also while you're in there, it's kind of like a magic system in that world where he kind of uses his smartphone to his advantage. So he kind of like has a GPS on his phone, like, the GPS on his phone, he can kind of like track, and he's got maps, and he can track like enemies and this, that, and the other. So he can kind of like mix technology with the magic system in the world. So instead of having to visually see his enemies to cast a spell on them, he can just whip out his phone on the maps and check where all the enemies are, tap them on his phone, and then just uses like a magical spell on them from like almost any distance, kind of overpowered. So I thought that was like super convenient, super easy. And yeah, those would be my world.
Yeah. He's an OP kind of MC in that anime.
Yeah, super OP. I recommend...
Those are the best kind of animes to get isekai'd into.
Yeah, where you're actually, like, super strong, and, you know, you've got girls under both your arms, you know? It'd be great.
That'd be nice.
So, Aeson, if you were to get isekai'd, which anime would you choose?
This is not really an isekai, but I'd love to get isekai'd into the Quintessential Quintuplets anime. Oh, there's five sisters that you could be weird, but you're gonna have to teach them. They're pretty dumb.
Just replace yourself with the MC, eh?
Yeah, I'll replace myself with MC. I'll be the cool MC, and I'll show the girls the way. I'll be like, oh, you guys, I'm gonna show you how to be
the cultured way,
smart and all that stuff. But I won't go the way the MC did. And yeah, I think
just have fun with them. Yeah.
Yeah, have fun with the quintuplets. I'll choose all of them if I had the choice. And yeah. Those women are pretty nice.
All right, we've got one more topic that we've got here, and that is which animes do you think deserve a second season? Aeson.
Okay, I reckon Classroom of the Elite. That anime, oh, if you haven't watched it, it's really good. Ah, the classroom D is on their way to, they're working their way to earn themselves into the next class, which would be like class C, or they're trying to go to class A, but they got left in a cliffhanger in the last episode, in episode 12, where they beat all the classrooms. And I just want to see where it goes and all that stuff. Like, do they really get to class A, or will they just, you know, get expelled and all that stuff, or like don't oh well, yeah, basically in a nutshell, they won't make it or what?
You need your answers, you need them now.
Yeah, I want the answers. Damn, manga won't freaking get updated every week. Okay, Base, what is your anime that you think deserves a second season or something like that?
I've got a couple on here actually, but I'll start off with Chivalry of the Failed Knight. It had a huge like build up to what it was about, and I really like the route and the direction that they took, because there's just this the main character, he's kind of like super adept in like swordsmanship and all that, but he kind of like doesn't have the magic to kind of back up his swordsmanship. And there's this exchange student, a princess from like another country or whatnot in the thing, and they kind of like develop a relationship together, and it's like a sweet romance, but at the same time it's action. And I just really liked the dynamic between the two, like the chemistry between those two. It was really wholesome and really romantic at the same time. It's a bit more romance than you'd expect from like action focused anime, and which I really liked. But unfortunately we just didn't get a second season. It was up to the first 12 episodes, and I think there's a light novel that continues on, but on the manga we don't actually get too far after the first 12 episodes, which, like, in terms of the manga, like, I've caught up to it, but they've only got enough content in the manga for, like, one or two, maybe even three, four episodes. They don't have enough for, like, a full second season. But I've heard that there's a light novel which goes beyond that, so I kind of really want them to, like, just base the anime off the light novel and just continue it on. And another anime that I've got on here is Air Gear. It's a sport anime about, like, roller skating, but at the same time, roller skates that can fly, in a way. And there's pretty much just, like, a whole sport around, like, roller skating and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty cool. Like, you make your own, like, guild and whatnot, and you kind of, like, challenge each other for territory and this, that, and the other. It's really an interesting anime. Like, you'd think, oh, a roller skating anime, you know, what's the hype about that? But it actually gets, like, super interesting and super deep. Like, the main character wants to be the very best, like no one ever was. And yeah, it was just interesting to see how he kind of starts out and he builds up his, like, reputation amongst, like, the community and, like, his friends that he makes along the way, and just some of the trials and tribulations and struggles that he went through was super interesting. Like, the manga is completed. There's, like, over 200 chapters or something along those lines, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure, but anyway, the manga was completed, but we only got one season of the anime, so I'm just there, like, come on, just make the second season, make the third. Like, you've got enough to finish this, just do it. And yeah, those are the animes that I believe deserve a second season.
Okay, so we're done with the animes, and I'm just going to jump into, like, one manga that we could talk about. But yeah, so there's this manga called The Immortal Swordsman in the Reverse World, which is an interesting concept in this manga. So in this manga, the guy gets isekai'd, and he's in a different world where, like, the roles are reversed. So the women in this manga are they have power. The women are more in power and the men are more weaker in this manga. And it's interesting because you see, like, the guys getting pushed around instead of the girls getting pushed around in this manga. Vase, you want to give your views of this manga?
Yep, I'll take it from you. So pretty much what happens is the MC, he actually lived a full life and he kind of, like, became a monk that had a lifespan of, like, 300 or something years. But then we're not really told what happens, but what we know is that he gets kind of, like, his mind gets teleported back into, like, a past version of himself, into an alternate reality. So his mind, from, like, a, you know, however old he was, gets put into, like, his 16-year-old body or 17, 18-year-old body. I'm not 100% sure. It might have been 20. But yeah, and then it's kind of like a world that's exactly like ours, but flipped, where, you know, women are a bit more, where they're more physically stronger than us, and where they kind of, like, you know, where it's like the primary income comes from, like, the women, and, like, men are kind of like the stay-at-home, you know, housewives.
Yeah, stay-at-home wife, yeah.
Which, in all honesty, I wouldn't mind, you know? Like,
I'll
why not?
Yeah, I'll just let the women do all the work.
Like, I don't mind cooking and cleaning, you know, as long as there's, you know, food on the,
food on the table.
Not food on the table, I meant to say, like, money coming in.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know, as long as I love her and she, you know, she's providing, then the least I could do is, you know, clean the house, do the dishes, do the laundry, keep that all, you know, all in check. And that's kind of like one of the struggles that he kind of goes through, because he lived in a world where it was the guy's responsibility to be the primary, like, source of income. Like,
yeah,
and, like, the, you know, kind of like, you know, everyone looks up to, like, the guy to, like, save the day and to, like, make everything right, whereas in that world, it's all the chicks doing all of that. But he kind of, like, it's interesting what he does. He kind of, like, comes in and he's like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I'm gonna be, like, taking care of you guys. Like, yeah, you're strong women, but, like, I want to be, you know, I want to be reliable, and, like, I want you guys to be able to rely on me, and this, that, and the other. He kind of has, like, a very dominant personality where, like, he kind of almost gets his way every time because he's got, like, the power to back it up, but at the same time, he kind of has to like retrain his body to possess the power that he kind of has in his soul. So it's kind of like
Yeah, he has
spiritual
to
in a way.
meditate.
So they don't make him overpowered from the beginning. Like he's strong, but at the same time, he needs to retrain his body to be as strong as he was. So that's a really good like limit and character developing tool that I really liked that they're using at the moment.
Yeah, that's a really nice manga that we're reading right now. And, oh, let's see. It's got a good of a sub to 83 chapters. So if you're looking of reading a manga, that's pretty good to learn about, a reversed world kind of stuff.
Oh, also, the manga app that we're using that actually works right now is called Manga Zone. You can find it in any of the app stores. We're not sponsored.
Oh yeah, not sponsored. I hope to be sponsored one day. Yeah, so Manga Rock, the one that we were using before, it has finally closed down, and so we have to switch to a different manga app. Manga Zone is the one that we're using right now, and it's fairly decent. It's got a plethora of selection that you can look through, and surely you'll find like a good manga to read through when you're at, or usually at night when you're reading manga, the best time to read manga is at night, and when you're about to go to bed, and you're bored, so I give myself a look through the manga, and she'll be all right, and I'll be asleep in no time. Usually, what goes along with reading a manga, I would usually listen to a podcast while reading my manga. Multitask, and yeah, that's really good to do while you're about to go to bed. Base, you wanna jump in, or is that it for today?
Well, I think that's just about it for today, but there are some things I'd like to say. First off, everyone, thanks for the huge amount of support, even though it's been just one podcast. We kind of were really surprised of the amount of people that we actually, that actually heard our podcast. So I'd just like to give a big shout out to everyone that's listening. Thank you so much. Means a lot. We're trying to like keep these podcasts as consistent as we can. Try and keep it maybe to like 1 or 2 weeks minimum. Like this one's gonna come out 2 weeks after the first one came out, and we'll see how it goes with the next one. We don't want to do too much at once because we don't want to run out of things to say, but at the same time, it's really fun doing all this. So we're trying to like figure out a good consistent like schedule for like releasing these podcasts and having them. So bear with us for a little bit. We're just getting started and we're giving our best, and we're trying to provide you guys with the best information and our perspective about anime and this beautiful culture that we all love and share together. Thank you.
Yeah, it was lovely having you to listen to us in a nutshell. And I hope you're doing all right listening to this podcast. And we'll catch you in the next podcast. Sorry that it wasn't 1 hour, but we're short on time. We went shopping today. It was lovely. We got to pick up some figures at the store, and you want to talk about that base for a second?
Oh yeah, let's get close that up with what we got. All right, for me, I got three Rem figures, believe it or not. One was a stewardess outfit of Rem, so the aircraft cabin crew, and another one was Rem in a sundress holding a basket, and the third one was a Christmas Rem in Christmas clothing. So those were beautiful for me, and I purchased them with the paycheck that I've been getting while being an essential worker during this time of crisis. So stay at home, people, and only if you absolutely need to get out of the house, get out the house. But otherwise, stay indoors. And for those essential workers, I feel ya. Stay strong. What did you get, Ason?
Oh, okay. So let me just go in for a second. I just want to shout out to that store that we went to, Shumi, the anime store that we bought our figures from. Oh, what a lovely store. It's in like Victoria Park, I think, and it's luckily they've reopened, and it's just a lovely kind of place to be in. And I've got myself a Mirio Togata figure. Oh my goodness, it's so nice looking. It's joined the collection of My Hero figures and other figures. Oh, just beautiful. And yeah, that's what we got today at.
Oh, and just to cut you off real quick, also I got Bardock from Dragon Ball Z. a figure of him. Real quick. All right. Go, Aeson.
I was just closing it up. Oh. Okay, so it was just lovely. I can't say my words properly, but it was lovely having you here listening to us on the podcast, and we'll catch you in the next one, hopefully.
Stay cultured.
Stay cultured.
Stay cultured, everyone. Catch ya.
Like our Instagram at Fully Cultured and
Twitter.
Yeah, at Twitter, Fully Cultured. Yeah, that's it. Okay, catch you later.
See ya.